Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Because the power of God is going to fall on this place today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we came to worship Him today. And right now we take the time to worship Him with our tithes and offerings. We return our tithes and we give our offerings. You see the different ways to give. If you're here for the first time, there's envelopes in front of you if you care to give today. And then you give it to the ushers on the way out the door. Now, each week we highlight something. This week it's benevolence. People are in need. We get requests every week. So we're excited to be able to meet those needs when we can. And we just thank God for whatever you give. Now, I want to give you a scripture. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Not just talking about money things, all the things that you need. And look around. We're blessed with more than we need. We serve a good God, a mighty God. I want to briefly share with you what happened last week. You know, I have two friends that came down from Maryland. They live in Groveland. The other two came down just to visit in Maryland, brought their granddaughter, their 9-year-old granddaughter, Arielle. And after service, my friend's wife, Sharon, she said, I never heard that before in the three types of unbelief. What were they? There was ignorance, there was willful, and what was the third one? I said, oh, let me get my notes. And Arielle said, it was natural. Boom, 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 just like that. So we went to my house for time of fellowship. We're talking about the service. It was such a wonderful move of God, and they were so happy to be in a place where the Holy Spirit is leading everything. And we're talking, and somebody said something, and Pastor Gary said this, and Ariel said, no, I think that was Pastor Pam that said that. And then my friend, Elder Stephen, the one that lives in Groveland now, he was talking to her about Jesus, and where's Jesus? Do you want Jesus in your heart? She said, yes, I do. So she said the sinner's prayer. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Not done yet. Not done yet. Because the Lord tells us to come to Him as little children. We only get what we ask for. He doesn't force anything on us. So Elder Steve proceeded to explain to her, because we had this move where pastor stopped service. We were speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. And we don't usually do that, like, as a group. So Elder Stephen's explaining it to her. And he said, do you want to receive that? She said, yes, I do. So the adults started praying in tongues, and she received her prayer language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is moving in our children. This is so exciting. Wherever you share, you carry the words of life with you. So today, as we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord, let's present our hearts to the Lord. Father, we lift these up before You, Almighty God. We worship You with everything that we have, our time, our talent, our treasure. Lord, look upon our hearts, just as we sang the song, Holy Spirit, come and change our hearts. Open our hearts, Lord, that we will see with Your eyes and hear with Your ears and be open to what You will do, that we will get out of the way and come as little children, trusting You, because You only do what is good and perfect. We give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Two quick announcements. All those, the two pages of people that signed up for the We Care ministry, thank you so much. Connie is going to meet with you next Sunday in the lobby after church, so please mark that. Delay your lunch just a little bit. And then women's Bible study they don't want to wait till the following Thursday. They want it this Thursday, so it's starting back this Thursday. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Phyllis McLean, who was baptized, would you join us, Phyllis? And I want to ask the elders to come up and join around Phyllis as well. Not only was Phyllis baptized today, but she is becoming a member of Grace Tabernacle, and I want you to know that. So elders, come on up, and we're just going to gather around Phyllis as we do every one of these treasured people that God sends us. We consider you a treasure. You have a lot to offer, more than you realize. And so we want to join in prayer for her, and would you mind just putting hands on her, and we're going to pray for her. These are not all of our elders. Some are away, or some may be playing hooky. I don't know. Where are they? But God, we just thank you for sending Phyllis to us, as you have graciously sent so many other wonderful people. And even some here today may come become part of this as you lead. And so we just thank you for Phyllis. We receive her as a gift from God. And we pray, Father, that we would be part of her family from this day forward forever, and we'd hold each other in our hearts, and we pray that this will be a time of flourishing for her, this a time of acceleration. All the things you put in her since she was 5 years old, Lord, 5 years old she's known you. Now gifts and callings that have yet to come out, even the singing that she was telling us earlier, that the singing voice that you gave her, that she desires to sing, you put the desire, may it come out, may it be a blessing. May it change the atmosphere. May it be something the Holy Spirit uses supernaturally. There'll be times that you will sing, Phyllis, and you won't know why you're singing, but it's a time where the circumstances do not seem to be right to be singing, but the Spirit of God is going to lead you to sing, and it's going to be warfare. And you sing and worship God. You know, God sent out worshipers with Jehoshaphat to win a battle. God said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And as you sing and as you dance before the Lord, and maybe in your kitchen or maybe driving down the road, as you sing and as you release the songs of the Spirit, even new songs are going to come to you, spiritual songs, the words you're going to put together, and it's going to be a beautiful melody to the Lord. And you're going to say, boy, I wish other people could hear this, but sometimes it's not for them. It's just between you and God. It's a special intimacy. God put the singing in you so you would be a worshiper. You'll worship him in spirit and truth. So we welcome you and we thank you, God. Now just release, God, this wonderful gifts that you've released in her. May she flourish in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. We love you, Phyllis. Welcome. Amen. We've had a wonderful mission team come back from Mexico. And Renee and Sue are part of that team down there. And next week, they're going to give us a little presentation of what happened. And so I'm looking forward to hear that. That's going to be wonderful. At this particular time, we're going to partake of communion corporately. We do this once a month together, besides having communion individually every week. But today, we're going to do it corporately. And if you have not received communion elements, if you'll just raise your hands, our ushers are so gracious that they're going to come by and they'll give you these elements so you can participate in communion with us. So if you need communion elements, just lift your hand up real high, and they're coming to you. There's Linda there and anyone else. Okay, thank you so much. Communion is not to be a ritual. Amen. It is to be an encounter. Amen. Just the word itself indicates an intimacy that God wants to have with you. He never intended for it to be a ritual that you only do in church. Jesus said, as often as you do this, Paul said it too, by the leading of the Spirit, as often as you do it. So there'll be times that you need to have communion at home on your own. You can have communion every day. I know people that do that. Why? It's not to be religious. It's to have an intimacy with God. You're to encounter God in a special way in these communion elements. That there is no other way to do that. And so when you take this bread out, go ahead and take it out, this little wafer. Jesus used unleavened bread. This is unleavened. Doesn't have any yeast in it. Yeast represented sin in the Old Testament. And Jesus used unleavened bread, and he lifted up before his disciples, and he said, now look at this. It's a visual aid. And then he said the strangest thing. He said, "This is my body. It's my body. It's broken for you," even though he didn't have a bone in his body broken. His will was broken so he could be surrendered to God. That's what ultimately worship is all about. It's about surrendering your life to God can use you. And Jesus said, my will was broken. I'm here to do the Father's will. And he said, this is the example for you. So when you take this bread, he says, you're eating my flesh. You're taking in my body. It has no sin in it. You take it in. Someone says, you are what you eat. And Jesus wanted us, when we do this, to take in his body, sinless body, and remember what he did for us. So, Lord, we thank you for your body. You came as a human being, God in the flesh, and you gave yourself willingly to do the Father's will. And you said, here, take and eat this. This is my body broken for you. So we do this as an act of worship, and we enter into intimacy with you one-on-one in Jesus' name. Scripture says the same night he took the cup. Keep in mind that this was a new experience for the disciples. They were intrigued with what Jesus said. Keep in mind, they didn't understand everything he said. Keep in mind, neither do we. We don't understand. Understanding is always behind catching up. Sometimes you don't understand till years later.
That's right.
The disciples didn't even understand when Jesus told them plainly, said, the Son of Man is going to die, going to be crucified, and 3 days be raised up. He said it several times, but they didn't understand it until later. Sometimes understanding is a while later. And this night, they didn't understand. Happened to be the Passover. And Jesus took a cup. And he said, this is the new covenant. Now, that's a new covenant. You're no longer under the old covenant.
Amen,
this is a better covenant.
Amen.
This is not a covenant of goats and bulls and lambs. This is my blood. It's a blood covenant that can never be broken. And it's not your blood, it's my blood.
Yes.
And this is a covenant that Jesus had with the Father, and he allows us to enter in. He said, now take this cup, this new covenant, filled with my blood, and drink all of it. It's my blood for the remission of all your sin. Hallelujah. And I imagine afterwards they looked around and kind of, what was that all about? Maybe like some of you right now. What is that all about? Understanding will come. Proverbs chapter 3 happens to be a verse, a chapter I'm meditating on. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and gets understanding. So even when the word of God is the wisdom of God. When you read the Word of God or you get the Word of God preached to you, taught to you, you're getting the wisdom of God. But you may not have understanding. You find wisdom. Understanding is what you get. And you get it out of intimacy with God. As you have intimacy with God, He gives you understanding. There's absolutely no charge for that sermon. Praise God. What I'm going to talk to you about today is the Lord laid this on my heart weeks ago. And I knew ahead of time you're going to probably walk out of here with more questions than you have answers today. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. But I don't know of any more doctrine or teaching that I'm about to share on today that is that the devil has divided the church over more than this subject. And while we're on the subject of prayer, as we have been for several weeks, we have to talk about praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praying in tongues. What is that? A study done at the University of Pennsylvania, and there have been several of these, where they've taken people and given them an MRI or some kind of brain scan or something where they monitored their brain while they prayed in English, and then when they would pray in tongues, other tongues. And when they noticed that on the MRI, that they noticed that the frontal lobe of the brain would really light up in the speaking time when they were speaking in English and praying in English. But when they prayed in tongues, that they noticed that frontal lobe, it just kind of relaxed and calmed down. It was almost as if they were not speaking. Maybe somebody else was speaking. Uh-huh. Isn't that interesting? And that wasn't trying to prove or disprove tongues. They just wanted to know if it had any physical difference, if it made any physical difference in the brain, and obviously it did. Some people have told me, my wife included, that when I pray in tongues, she says, there's a great peace I have, that I have prayed the will of God, I've prayed beyond my understanding, I've prayed beyond what I know to pray for, and I've prayed in the Spirit, and afterwards I have a great calm and a great sense of peace. And that's her testimony. This subject divides churches. It should not. And it divides over the lack of understanding. And I don't claim to understand. I have more questions every time I preach on this subject than I do answers. But we have to preach it because it's the Word of God. The understanding will come later. The Apostle Paul said this: are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Obvious answer, no. But don't take that to be, that's God's will.
That's right.
He was just stating the obvious, that in his experience, that there are places you go, that there are people that do these things, and then there are people that don't do that for whatever reason, lack of understanding or never being taught or whatever. But don't say that's the will of God. See there? Not everybody's going to do that. It doesn't say that. And Paul said himself, 1 Corinthians 14, I desire that you all speak in tongues. Now, he wouldn't say that if that wasn't going to happen for everybody. If it wasn't available to everybody. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But even more that you prophesy. That's speaking forth with the gift of inspiration to speak a word to the church. For greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. See, there's a time where you speak in tongues, you speak privately in your prayer language between you and God. And then there's times that you will speak in tongues. Maybe you speak in tongues publicly. God will give you a desire to give forth an utterance that's coming out of a tongue, a language you do not know, to speak to a congregation. And when that happens in a public setting for one person to stand up and say, I have a tongue to share, and to do that, then it needs the spiritual gift of interpretation with it. Amen. In a public setting. And that's not to say that we can't all just pray in tongues and like we worship in tongues or sing in tongues, like that it's a glorious experience if you've never heard that. When the church comes together and sings in the Spirit or sings in tongues, I'm talking about the same thing, that's a glorious experience. First time Pam and I ever heard singing in tongues, we actually weren't supposed to be in this church, according to the Bible college that we went to that didn't believe in that. And we were curious, so we snuck off to a Assembly of God church in Dothan, Alabama, and we sat in the back seat hoping nobody from our college would see us there. And they started singing in the Spirit. We'd never heard anything like that before in our life. And it was glorious. Man, I thought I was being raptured that very moment. It was like angelic singing. It was so beautiful. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but man, when it's done by the Spirit of God, it's a, whoo, my goodness. And I wish they hadn't stopped. And then after that, and we didn't, because we didn't know how to do that, but we were experiencing, and you could tell our spirit bore witness quickly, this is from God. Amen. We don't understand it. We hadn't been exposed to it. But we knew our spirit bore witness, this is of God, even though I don't understand it. And this is how you have to be today. You've got to be open to God and not be open to deception. Don't worry. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth.
That's right. That's what he said.
Just because this is not your custom, your tradition, maybe you've been taught this is of the devil and all this other garbage, that's not true. You need to search the Scriptures. Your spirit, if you're born again, your spirit, the Spirit of truth, will bear witness what is of God and what is not of God. Because sometimes your knowledge doesn't know, but your spirit knows. Your Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of God in you, in your born-again spirit, knows all things.
Yes.
You just don't know.
That's right.
So what is this gift of tongues? Let's just get right down to it. It's a gift, according to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 12, it's a gift from God. And the word gift there is charisma. And the word charisma means it's a gift of grace. It's not something you earn. It's not a level you achieve. It is something that God just imparts out of His grace. Just like salvation was a gift. This is, everything is a gift from God, is a grace gift. You don't earn it. You don't work to get it. It's a mysterious gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a mysterious gift. Because we don't understand it. That's why churches are divided over it. But it says that it's a language that the Spirit gives you to edify you. It edifies you. It actually builds you up in your spiritual man when you're weak. And at the same time, if it's done publicly in a public setting with interpretation, it edifies the church. But if it's done in a church and there's no interpretation, it doesn't edify the church. Because you always have people that this is maybe new to, or they haven't been exposed to it, or, you know, they're questioning about it. So it's a gift of grace. Praise God. Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue, means it's unknown to him. It's not a language that he learned. Okay? He does not speak to men, but he's actually speaking to God. But look at it this way. It's not just talking to God, it's a conversation with God. Like if I talk to you, and we're talking, then it's a conversation. I'm talking, but you're also talking. So that's what that means. It's not just you talking directly to God. It's a conversation. It's an intimacy you enter into. It's like those of you husbands and wives. You know, there are intimate conversations you can have with one another that you don't have with everybody else. And when you pray in tongues, it is intended to be an intimate conversation between you and the Father. And most of the time that I experience tongues and speaking in tongues, it's private. It's between me and God. It's very rarely is it for everybody. I think only once or twice, maybe a few times in my lifetime, have I ever given a public tongue. And boy, after I did it, I said, boy, God, I hope that's you. I hope I wasn't just, you know, getting caught up in the moment. And we want the Lord to lead us. I don't have any room for hype anymore. I'm way past that. I don't need to hype you. I don't need to trick you. We're way past that. This is in the Bible. It's the Word of God. And so I don't tiptoe around it. The first time I ever publicly preached, well, not the first time, the first time I ever publicly preached it correctly, that it's alive and well today, this gift, well, that's when all my trouble started happening. In the traditional church, it was just totally against that. But they all looked at me just like you folks are right now, smiled and said, okay, we're okay with that. So I got my eye on every one of you. I've been there before. And they rose up, and a group of them rose up and said, no, we don't believe that, and we believe you're not teaching the Bible, and we don't want that here. That's another story. Well, I'm not the only one. But here today, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And Paul, the apostle Paul, was an amazing guy. I want you to think about this. Now, think about this. Here's a time to exercise your mind. The apostle Paul, of all the apostles, and he called himself an apostle. God made him an apostle. Do you know how he was extremely far ahead the 12 disciples who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years on the earth? Now think about it. You had the privilege of walking with Jesus 3.5 years on this earth. They slept with him. They ate with him. They saw firsthand miracles. They saw him multiply loaves and fishes. They saw him raise the dead. They saw it firsthand.
Yep.
Woo! You would think that would be the ultimate training. But look at the Apostle Paul. He knew more about the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, about the third heaven. He knew more about the second coming and the rapture than any of them. Apostle Paul was so extremely spiritually ahead of the 11 apostles in knowledge. Question, why? He wasn't even walking with Jesus on the earth, but they did. But he's so far advanced, he knew things they didn't know. The answer is in his own words. Receive it. I thank my God that I pray and speak in tongues more than all of you. He didn't back down. He let it be known. Where did he get this knowledge? Where did he get this information? Where did he get this revelation? The only answer was the Holy Spirit. What did he do different from the disciples? They had the Holy Spirit. He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. That's where you ought to say amen.
Amen.
Well, that made sense to me. That's what the difference was. That's the only difference. And Paul wrote in his epistles 75 times when he spoke in the King James language. He didn't speak in the King James language. Look, there are times what I'm saying is from the Holy Spirit, and there's times it's not. I'm joking with you. But he used the phrase, and 75 times it's in the King James Bible, is what I'm saying, in Christ or Christ in you. He used that phrase. He's the only one who had that revelation. And he wrote it in his epistle 75 times, in Christ or Christ in you. So he had the revelation. He also wrote in Colossians chapter 2, look at this. This is very important. All the riches and assurance of full understanding and knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all, everybody say all, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where are they hidden? Where are they hidden? That's what he said. And where's Christ? He's in you. So inside you dwells all the wisdom and knowledge of the universe. You didn't know you was that smart. The answer to cancer is in a believer. The answer to the economic problems are in Christ, in the believer. Did he not say all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, who is in you?
Amen.
Now, John, the apostle of love, did get that much. He wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, which is a 220 power verse. He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So you can lift your hand up and say, I know everything. In the spirit, you do. In your born again spirit, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, everything of Christ is inside your spirit. It's sealed up. It's right there. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in you. You need an answer to a problem? It's already in here. It's in there. You need a solution to something? It's already in here. How do you get it? You need to have intimacy with the Father. Just like a husband and a wife may close the door and they go in the bedroom and they have intimacy. They have a conversation. And this is intended for you to have such a kind of intimacy with God that you can go in the inner chamber of the Spirit and talk His language. And receive the interpretation. So here's the question. Everybody should be asking this by now. How are we to access that? If all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ who is inside me, how can I get to that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Scripture gives us the leading. 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us, let him who speaks in an unknown tongue, he didn't know what he's speaking, pray that he may interpret. Amen. God, I need the interpretation of what I'm talking to you about. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. See, it's the tongue. When you pray in tongues, it's the Spirit of God praying. And you're born again spirit. And you're praying in a language you don't know. You say, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Me either. My understanding is still trying to catch up. But I'm not going to be back in unbelief and doubt and say, that doesn't make any sense. I ain't going to believe that. That's foolish. That's the wisdom of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. I take the wisdom of God. Do I understand it? No. Some of it I do. But my understanding is always catching up. Let him who speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So when you speak in an unknown tongue, whether praying in your spirit, you should pray and ask God for the interpretation. It may not come right then. It may not come for days later or weeks later. You're driving down the road minding your own business and all of a sudden a thought pops in your head as a solution to a problem you've been dealing with for months. That's how it's happened to me. And I go, wow, God, that is so simple. How come I didn't know that? Well, you did know. It was just in your spirit. You had to get it out.
Amen. That's right.
And God, through intimacy with God. See, if we knew all things on our own, we'd be prideful.
Right.
We'd say, God, thank you. I don't need your help right now. I'll handle this. But see, God designed that we be dependent upon Him. Dependent upon the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You can't live the Christian life. If you could, you wouldn't need Jesus.
That's right.
It's spirit-led. You walk by the Spirit, or you walking by the flesh.
That's right.
So you pray that you may interpret. Otherwise, your mind is unfruitful. I just don't understand. It just sounds like a bunch of gibberish to me. That makes no sense to me. See, the interpretation can be a revelation. It could be a solution to a problem. It could be knowledge. It could be guidance that the Holy Spirit will make known to you out of intimacy with God. Do you know that the Bible says that speaking in tongues builds, it restores, it edifies you, and literally repairs you? The Bible says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So if you're praying in a tongue, and just between you and God, part of, you know, I pray in my mind and I pray with the Spirit also. I go back and forth. I pray about a matter for a while, and I don't know what else to pray about it, but I just want to pray some more about it. So I just go into speaking in tongues. And this is just for example. Ekoramaha ishala rete ama lokoramba kahi bomborete kasala didikara. Now, Lord, I pray that you give me understanding. And I know you will. I ask you to give me the interpretation of what my spirit knows that my mind doesn't understand. and help me with this. What is your way, your solution? And I thank you in advance for it. See, that's just between me and God. It's not for show. It's not a badge of superiority. Look, I've arrived, man. I pray in tongues. I speak in tongues. No, that's not a sign of growth. It's a gift of grace. And there are some churches that teach you that you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. I disagree with that. Because the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was that they went out and became witnesses in power. Wasn't that they all spoke? They spoke in tongues, but the evidence, the great manifestation, is they witness. So I don't take it as, well, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? It's always meaning, and I understand where people are coming from, but I don't always take that as, well, does that mean you always speak in tongues? Because there are some people baptized with the Holy Spirit, obviously, that don't speak in tongues. They're strong in witnessing. They're mighty evangelists. Billy Graham, as far as I know, people try to say that he did and stuff, but the truth of the matter is, if you contact their organization, they'll tell you, no, he never really spoke in tongues. Some people try to say he did. Was he not baptized with the Holy Spirit? Boy, I'm not going to say he's not. But you see, it becomes a pet doctrine. Yeah. A pet doctrine for people. Don't major on the minors. If you never speak in tongues, but you're born of the Spirit of God, and I wish that you would speak in tongues like Paul.
Everybody can.
It's available. But if you never get there, I don't make it like, boy, you're just not really part of us. You haven't arrived. That's wrong. I'll try to help you and try to encourage you. My best friend over here told me the other day, he said, man, I still don't speak in tongues. I told him, I said, what's wrong with you? You're in a church? He said, I've tried to receive. I said, well, you're trying too hard. Just believe and receive. So you can tell people, but there's no formula. Everybody here can tell you their experience. We could have 100 different testimonies come up here today and tell you how they spoke in tongues and how it happened to them. There's no formula. Just relax. And sometimes seeking that becomes an idol.
Yeah, that's right.
That can become more important than just seeking intimacy with God.
That's right.
Now let me get back on track here. The word edifies means it builds you up. It's your spiritual man. So that's why you can have times where you just pray in tongues yourself privately. And it edifies you. Now, it'll build up the church if there's an interpretation, because not everybody in the church probably speaks in tongues. So it'll edify the church if there's an interpretation. Interpretation can be a revelation. It could be a lot of things. But it'll edify the church only when it's done publicly, as if there were an interpretation. An interpretation can come from that person, or it can come from a totally different person. It's really weird how it works. We had a witch attend our service when we first started Grace Tabernacle in the upper room. Some of you probably were there and remember that moment. We had a deliverance that was going on down in front of the church, and it was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. Whew! Praise and worship, awesome. It was something great going on. And there was a lady who came into the church, a witch, and I didn't know it at that time. She just looked like everybody else. And she came in, and during the time when the person is at the altar, and our deliverance minister administered deliverance, casting out devils, and a visiting deliverance minister who was there to preach that day, they were ministering to this young man. All of a sudden, this lady gets out, and she comes forward like she wanted to reach forward and touch this young man being ministered to. And my wife and several ladies, probably several of you here, somehow knew by the Spirit that you're supposed to stop her. And they got up and stood in front of that and said, no, nobody's going forward. Nobody's going to touch him. held hands and all that. And all of a sudden, our deliverance minister, who was down here praying with this individual, got up out of the blue and turned and pointed his finger right at the lady who was a witch and spoke, in my opinion, spoke in tongues. I heard him speak in tongues, a point at her. And she turned around, backed up, and walked out and left the service. Well, that was a weird service that day. And just one of those, you kind of, your head spinning like, what in the world is going on? And so Thursday nights, when we still didn't have Wednesday night, we had Thursday night service. When we came together, midweek service, I asked everybody, I said, we need to debrief a little bit about what went on Sunday, because there's just some things going on. I don't even know what happened. But by that time, the deliverance minister told me that in his spirit, he knew that there was a witch present and she was trying to get to this person and impart something. I don't know. So anyway, long story made short, he told me that, so I knew that much was going on. So when I asked people, I told the story again. I said, well, David stood up and spoke in tongues, and about half the people raised their hands and said, no, wait a minute. He didn't speak in tongues. He spoke in English. And I said, no, he spoke in tongues. I clearly heard him. And they said, no, we heard him. He spoke in English. And they said what she said. She's a witch, and you don't have any power here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus, something like that. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was like one of those times where you just scratch your head and you go, wow, God. Sometimes God's doing things in the spirit that we just don't know. And he can't sit around and explain it to us before we step out. We got to trust God. We have to trust God. So somebody's probably here saying, well, wait a minute. I'm saved. Are you telling me I don't have the Holy Spirit? No. If you're born again of the Spirit, you have to have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you receive Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit. You're saved by grace. So you have the Holy Spirit. But here's the confusion. When Jesus was crucified, 3 days later, he came out of the grave resurrected. He appeared to the disciples in John chapter 20 in his resurrected body. And the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, the Holy Spirit had been around them, but the Holy Spirit had never been in anybody because Jesus hadn't been resurrected yet.
That's right.
So they received the Holy Spirit as Jesus breathed on them. If Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, do you think they received the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Well, answer me. Yeah. Okay, they did. They received the Holy Spirit. The same people, the same believers who received the Holy Spirit, now they're born again. They have the Spirit of God. They're born again. The same ones Jesus said to them, don't leave Jerusalem, because in a few days you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was already in them. Are you listening? They were born again, like some of you. You have the Holy Spirit because you're born again. But the question is, has it come upon you? And that's a whole different encounter.
Yes, it is.
Jesus didn't tell them once they were born again, you got it all, you don't need anything else. Now go out. No, he said, wait until you get endued with power from on high. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it was a unique experience. Just happened to be the Feast of Pentecost. So Jewish people from all over the world, we're talking about Africa, we're talking about Iraq, Iran, Asia, every place on the planet, anybody who was a Jew would come to Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost. So the city was packed with people from who spoke foreign languages. And the Lord had this encounter happen just at the right time. And the Holy Spirit fell, came upon them. He was in them, but he came upon them, a different encounter. And they did some miraculous things. There was appearance of tongues of fire. and they spoke in languages they didn't even know they were speaking. Why did God do that? Well, they needed to know once for all, they needed to know, wait a minute, is this just being caught up in the moment? Is this just the worship leader just giving us the right song and we got all hyped up and excited about it? Was this really God? And we started speaking out sounds and words that we've never said before, and then everybody started, there's 120 of us doing it. Was this just an ecstatic moment? Were we just speaking gibberish? That's what a lot of people say when they hear tongues. Oh, you're just speaking gibberish. It means nothing. How do you know? How do you know? Well, that's probably what people were starting to say. They said, well, yeah, these guys got in the bottle of wine. We know that. 9 o'clock in the morning, they're a bunch of drunks. Yeah, we know. This is wine speaking. And they're just speaking gibberish. They're just talking like whatever. And yet God purposely had it ordained that it would be people from Kenya, Nairobi, Iraq, Iran, Asia that would be there. And they confirmed. No. We heard them speaking in our own language. Our native tongue that nobody, we heard them magnifying and glorifying God. We heard them. It wasn't gibberish. And the 120 needed to hear that. Because they could have thought, I guess we were just babbling and speaking out baby language. I guess we were just mumbling nonsense, I guess. But no, they needed to hear. No, we heard a language. We heard you magnifying God. That confirmed. It was like, wow. So it wasn't gibberish. It was unknown language to them, but it was a language. And they said in Acts chapter 2, how is it we hear in our own language where we were born? We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. Just like I heard, and Pam and I heard tongues, and I think she heard English. And we argued all week long who was right. And Joan heard English. And I knew they were wrong. I said, no, I'm going to prove you wrong on Thursday night. I'm going to show you. Do you know every time the book of Acts records God's Spirit coming or falling, it uses that term, to fall upon believers, it's accompanied by them speaking in tongues. So they had the Jewish Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and not long after that, in Acts chapter 10, they had the Gentile Pentecost. There was a man by the name of Cornelius who had a dream, and Peter was in this dream, and he got Peter to come over across the sea a little bit to Caesarea, I think it was, and to come to a house meeting, and said, we just believe the Lord wanted you to come and speak to us, so whatever you want to speak. So Peter, all he knew that he was led by the Holy Spirit to go there. He didn't know these Gentiles, and Jews don't usually associate with Gentiles, and yet here they are. I know God led me here. So Peter just gets up and starts preaching, you know, preaching what he thinks he's supposed to preach. And Peter, like me, sometimes preaches too long. You're supposed to say, oh no, pastor, you have the words of life. We come to hear and sit it. You missed your moment. It doesn't mean anything now, so don't even try it. While Peter was speaking, he was preaching too long. God interrupted him. While he's, I'm not done with the sermon yet, God. And God stepped in and said, the Holy Spirit fell. Came down upon those who heard him preaching. And the Jewish believers were Peter, were astonished.
Because the gift of the Holy Spirit that they experienced back in Acts chapter 2 had been poured out upon the Gentiles. And they heard them speaking in other tongues and magnifying God. God, I don't understand this. Quickly, I got to get this plane to land. Like I said, you're probably going to walk away with more questions than answers. That's okay. Your understanding will catch up, long as you'll receive the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Don't question God's Word. It's okay to ask God questions, just don't question His Word. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand. Would you give me understanding? That's the right place to be. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a pastor, and he said to him, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up. Everybody say, stir up. The gift of God, and the word there he uses for gift is the same word, charisma, for the gift of the Spirit. I remind you to stir up the gift of the Spirit of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And that was customary that many times people laid hands in the book of Acts on people, and they received the Holy Spirit, gift of tongues and praying in the Spirit that way. For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Evidently, Timothy battled with the spirit of fear. He was pastor of probably the largest church in the world at that time, called Ephesus. And so he dealt with the spirit of fear. And Paul knew this because he was Paul's disciple. And Paul told him, Timothy, I'll tell you one way that you can absolutely knock the spirit of fear out of you. And that is to start to stir up that gift that was given to you, praying in tongues.
Amen.
Well, how do you know, preacher, that it's tongues he's talking about? What about some other spiritual gift? Because there's no other gift, spiritual gift, that you can stir up at will. You can't stir up the gift of miracles. You can't stir up the gifts of healing. You can't stir up the gifts of discerning of spirits. But the gift of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit, you can stir up at will. It's the only one. So he was telling Timothy, the way you deal with fear is start praying in the Spirit. If somebody here is suffering from panic attacks in the middle of the night, I would urge you to get a hold of this message. And if you don't already, begin to ask God to give you and help you receive and start speaking in tongues. Because you'll pray beyond your mind and your understanding. And in the spirit world, they know exactly what's going on. And the power of praying in the Spirit will stop those panic attacks. If you have panic attacks, you ought to pray in the Spirit. Because you're being attacked by a spirit of fear. And there'll come a time those tranquilizers and medicine won't help you. Because it's spiritual. How can I receive what you're talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Because I want to share. First of all, there are probably some of you here, probably the vast majority of you, already pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. But some of you may be here and you haven't done that for a long time. And I don't know why. But I would urge you to start practicing again and use that in your intimacy time with God. Stir it up in your heart. And begin to privately just worship God. Do with your mind, but also in tongues. It'll edify you spiritually. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So it'll help you. Secondly, there are those here today who have not spoken tongues, but you desire to. But let me say something about this desire. If this desire is because you're kind of fascinated with this subject, or maybe you're fascinated with this and you kind of say, well, I want to have that too, I would say, well, you need to check your motivation. God doesn't need to show you or demonstrate to you anything. And if you just want to kick the tires and try something out and see if it works and stuff, probably God knows better. He's probably going to say, no, your heart's not there yet. So let me ask you, for number one, the first thing you got to do in order to receive this gift, and again, I don't want to major on the minors, is that first of all, you got to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, the one that died on the cross for me. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he's alive right now. God says you'll be saved. But you got to confess that with your mouth to him, and best to do it in front of other people. I encourage you to do that. So the same way you get saved is the same way you receive gifts from God. You believe with your heart, and you speak it with your mouth. Why in the world, God, did you pick tongues, which you knew would be controversial? You knew, God, it's going to cause me some trouble. You knew, God, we're going to have all kinds of questions. Why in the world would you choose to use this strange and mysterious gift to the body of Christ when you know it, when you knew it would be so divisive? The tongue of all things. James describes it as the tongue is a little member in the body, but it's so powerful, it's like the rudder on a ship. It can change the course of a ship. God knows if he can get a hold of your tongue, and basically it's what you're surrendering and yielding to him, that he can change the course of your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And it starts with this thing right here in your mouth. Well, God, I don't understand it. He says, yeah, I know. That's where you're going to have to trust me.
Amen. That's right.
Take me at my word. That's wisdom. Understanding will catch up. You know, the Bible says you can have the peace that passes all understanding. What is that? That means you can have peace in the times of incredible chaos in your life, and you go, how in the world can I have peace in a time when all hell is breaking loose against me? It's the peace that passes all understanding. And this is a gift that goes beyond understanding. So here's the thing. In Acts chapter 2, just for example, one word I want to express this to you. It says, well, they began, everybody say they began, to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that word utterance in the Strong's is apophthegma. I spelled that out so I could say it and sound really smart. And it means the desire to express. So the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, the desire to speak. But he didn't make them speak. He didn't go in there and grab their tongue. He didn't force them. He just gave them utterance, the desire from the presence of God. So it happens like this. The Holy Spirit is the instigator, but you're the activator. God doesn't speak in tongues. You do. People do. Objection! Jesus never spoke in tongues. Amen. But I object to your objection based on his word in Mark chapter 16. His out of his own mouth in red in your Bible, he says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll speak with new tongues and cast out devils. Well, how come he never spoke in tongues? He didn't need to. But the gifts didn't come till after he ascended. After he left the earth, the Holy Spirit came down. So it happens like this. This was God's plan A, still is. Jesus came down to the earth and dwelt among men. 33 years, presented God's plan, the gospel. Then Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the church is supposed to go out. That's it. That's it. No plan B. So when the Holy Spirit comes down upon you, he's empowered you to be a witness. And signs, miracles, and wonders will follow you. And you'll go around scratching your head, how in the world did God do that? How did God get me in the right place, right time? How did God do this? You're going to have more questions than answers if you're really walking in the Spirit. God, I don't understand. He says, yeah, I know. That keeps you coming back to me. So where do we go from here? Well, here's the test. The Holy Spirit gives you utterance, the desire to speak in tongues. The pattern in the book of Acts was believers who already spoke in tongues laid hands on those. So we ought to follow that pattern. And those who want to receive this intimate gift to be able to pray in tongues to God, not for show, not for hype, but you want this next level of walking with God in a level of intimacy that goes beyond your mind, you can have it. But I go back to the very beginning. Not everybody's speaking in tongues. I don't major on the minors. If you never do, that's between you and God. It's never going to affect my fellowship with you. But I will encourage you. Open your heart up to God. Be open. Seek more intimacy with God. God, I want everything you have for me, even if it goes against my tradition and my understanding. I want you. Then you ought to seek. You ought to ask. Jesus said it this way, don't be afraid of this gift. If a father is asked by a son, Daddy, would you give me a fish? Something to eat? You, being evil, he said, you wouldn't give him a snake. You wouldn't give him a serpent. You wouldn't play a trick on him. And Jesus said, you being evil, you might do a trick like that. It might be possible somebody in the world would be that evil to do that. But your Heavenly Father would never do that. If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, that's what he's going to give you. Amen. So you have nothing to fear by asking and asking and asking. I don't care. I mean, if I were here listening to somebody like me up here preaching to you today, man, I'd say, and I hadn't spoken in tongues yet, but I wanted to, I'm going forward. What if it doesn't happen then? I don't know. Maybe it happened later.
That's right.
I don't know. I was seeking this when I was in the Baptist church. That's dangerous. And I'd read books about it, and I'd read people's experience, and I'd get around people who did that, and I could tell that my spirit bore witness, this is true, this is real, it's not phony. If I'd have picked up on this is a bunch of phony and a bunch of hype, I wouldn't.
That's right.
But I knew it was real, and I wanted. Whatever God has for me is what I want. So there was a price to pay at one point for me, but thank God. He gave me the grace. I know it's true. I ain't letting up. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you never come back to this church again because of what I preach today. Because my spirit bears witness that what I'm telling you is the truth. I won't stand before God. I won't stand before God. And I'm not trying to get applause. I won't stand before God and him say, why didn't you preach what I told you to preach? Because you're afraid of people. For 20 years, I was afraid of people, and I wouldn't dare preach that. It's too late now. Praise God. Well, let's stand. And I would say the altar workers come up and be ready to lay hands on people who want to receive, first of all, Jesus.
Amen.
If you've never received Jesus, you need to receive him.
Amen.
And you ought not be ashamed about coming forward in a service. You could be in church all your life and never realize, you know, I haven't been born of the Spirit. I've been religious, but I haven't been born of the Spirit. Well, you ought to come forward, and you don't have to come forward. You can receive Jesus right now where you are. Now, as far as receiving the prayer language that God wants you to have, there's people up here that have had years and years of experience of helping people know how to receive. And Quentin, you ought to be the first one up here. No pressure, brother. But I'm just being, he's my friend, so I can talk to him about, well, you really ought to be the first one. And somebody else ought to be the second one. Some of you ought to be running down here right now saying, that's it. This is, God called me here today to hear this. Praise God. And you can receive what God wants you to have and go deeper in your prayer. So I just pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this altar. I thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. I thank you that today you're going to pour out the Holy Spirit. It's going to fall upon people, and many will be experiencing this glory of praying in the Spirit with other tongues. I thank you for this. I thank you, God. You made us a church where we don't back down from the truth. Thank you, God. Thank you. Now, many, open their hearts up, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit, you'd open their hearts like you did the heart of Lydia in the Bible. Open their hearts to receive from you. And I pray this now in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 If you pray in the Spirit, I'd encourage you just to walk back and forth in this altar and begin to pray in the Spirit. Just walk back and forth in this altar while people are up here to receive and be prayed for. If you need healing in your body, whatever it may be, God's going to baptize you with power so you can be a witness unto Him. Nothing's impossible for the Lord. There's power God wants to give you. Praise God. There's power.
Thank you very much. I needed that understanding.
Amen.
I do understand.
Amen. Amen. Have you received?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Don't doubt.
I don't doubt.
Praise God. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.